Ramsey TV.
Okay, some of the things I'm going to say to you today are going to seem fantastic. They may even seem crazy. And I'm not saying that what I tell you today, my interpretation of elements of Revelation chapter 6, I'm not telling you that my words are gospel truth. I'm not saying that my interpretation is what is going to happen. But I will say that we will be dealing with the time in human history in the unveiling that has never occurred before. It will be more fantastic than the plagues of Egypt. It will be more fantastic to Eve talking with a serpent in the Garden of Eden, as fantastic as that was. Or a man being formed out of the soil in one day, as fantastic as that was. And so I'm just going to tell you what I think. I'll take it for what it's worth. You may call it an educated guess. Or you may call it interesting and viable musings from the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. Welcome. This is Martin Sender, and I'm looking into end time things because we are living there. Now, if you remember, the pirate told us, well, before I tell you what the pirate told us, I have to start with a joke, just to ease things up a little bit. It's a short joke, don't worry. It was told by Juliana's father, Ricardo. I think it's a very funny joke, and I think it's an appropriate beginning. I'm going to try to tell it like he did, but I'm going to do it in English. He told it in Spanish. Juliana translated it for me. There was an elderly couple living in Spain, elderly married couple. And the husband said to the wife, if I die in Madrid, I want you to bury me in Barcelona. And if I die in Barcelona, I want you to bury me in Madrid. And the wife said, why would you want that? And the husband said, just to fuck with you. All right, and on that epic beginning, here we go. Yesterday, I suggested that the White Horse Rider would have two conquerings. I never saw it before. Never saw that before. And he came forth, Revelation 6:2, the White Horse Rider came forth conquering, and that he should be conquering. It always sounded weird to me, but I just thought, that's just another weird saying in the scriptures. But then I thought of the orange man, helmet hair, as a really, I think, at this late time, likely candidate. Oh, I'm going to get back to the pirate, don't worry. As a likely candidate to be the white horse rider, the false white horse rider, the man who promises to fix everything. And he will fix everything. And when he was first on the scene, he did conquer. And isn't it interesting that since then, everything has fallen apart. Everything he did, which was good, has been taken away by the exhumed body, giving him an opportunity to return and to conquer again, only this time with the entirety of the government behind him, with a vast relief that the exhumed body has gone by the wayside, with people suffering much more than they did before. And now maybe they won't be so irritated by the man's coarseness, but will focus instead on his accomplishments. Back to the pirate. The pirate suggested that the kingdom would come in 2030. Now, folks, don't hate me for this. It is possible that, like I said, we're in the right ballpark. We're not down the street in a different ballpark. We're not in another city. We're in the right ballpark. It's possible that it's 2 years, wiggle room. Because the question is, do we start the 2,000 years, which would fulfill the 6,000 years? Where do we start it in Christ's life? Do we start it at his birth? Well, obviously not. It's too late for that. Do we start it at the beginning of his public ministry, which I think is viable? Or do we start it at the time of his resurrection, which was approximately 3 years later? 3.5 years, some say. 3.5 years, probably. In any case, we are close. So what I'm trying to put in a very brief period in the next 3 years could be in the next 5 years. This doesn't change the fact that we could be snatched away at any time because of the sign of September 23rd, 2017 was real, and it marked the beginning of an escalating series of events, a swiftness of events that will fall like dominoes. So, I want to look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6, and I want to look at them as only I can from the modern perspective, from the perspective of seeing the events transpire that make it possible for these fantastic things to happen. I'm thinking namely of the mark of the beast. Who in the first century could wrap their heads around that whole concept? But now we see easily how it could be done. In fact, they're talking literally about marking the hand or the forehead because these are the exposed areas of the body. That's why it's convenient to have some sort of mark, some sort of electronic signal in these areas in order to buy or sell. Now we see how, yes, it's right on the brink. I mean, it's here. They're doing it already in certain countries. It would be convenient as hell. I mean, nothing to carry, no cards, no ID. You just pass through a sensor and then it picks up all your information. I mean, scary as hell. I wouldn't want it. I don't want it. But it's convenient. What price convenience? So let's look at the second horseman. And again, I make room for the conqueror to conquer again. It could be during these four horsemen catastrophes, or it could be after the four horsemen catastrophes. I vote for after. Revelation 6:3, and when it opens the second seal, I hear the second animal saying, come. And forth came another horse, fiery red, and to him who was sitting on it was given to take peace out of the earth, and that they should be slaying one another. And a huge sword was given to him. Now, I've said, A. Enoch said, most commentators say this is war. I think that's an assumption. When you see slaying, you think of war. I think that's an assumption. It doesn't say war. What does it say? Again, and then when it opens the second seal, I hear the second animal saying, come, and forth came another horse, fiery red, and to him who was sitting on it was given to take peace out of the earth. There's different ways to take peace out of the earth besides war. And I'm going to suggest one to you momentarily. You probably already know what it is. And that they should be slaying one another. That who should be slaying one another? And a huge sword was given to him. Now, in this case, John sees a literal horse. Okay? There's not going to be a literal horse on the earth like I told you yesterday. Not going to be a literal horse. And the sword, I believe, was given to the figurative rider on the figurative horse, so I believe that the sword is figurative. But the slaying on the earth, how this symbol that John sees manifests itself on the earth, is certainly not symbolic. It is certainly not a figure of speech. I want to look at the word slay. To slay, we always think of somebody shooting someone, or someone stabbing someone, or someone taking a sword. It says sword, but that's the figurative part. And in war, people die by violence. Well, to slay is to die by violence, period. That's what it is. To die by violence. Could be any kind of violence. The word violence is used in the scripture. The underlying Greek word there is bia, and it means force. Like when some people force other people by some means, whether by fear or by threat of not being able to buy or sell, people force people to do something, let's say, to their bodies, which would cause them to assume room temperature. You know what I'm talking about. I'll just refer to it as I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. But you don't have to be a conspiracy theory person, because it is becoming apparent via educated people in the professions who say that is extremely dangerous, to the point of causing people eventually to assume room temperature, which is a euphemism, I think you know, for no longer exist, which is a euphemism for death. I now think, I doubted this at first, who wouldn't? It's so fantastic, it's so crazy, but we don't realize that there are sociopaths in this world, there are psychopaths in this world who have no regard for human life. We just think that these people are relegated to the outskirts of society. They're in the basement somewhere, plotting terrible things. But I think we need to understand, and I think most of us do understand, that these people, if they really want power, if they really want control, if they're the Dr. Evil types, and they are the Dr. Evil types, they will stop at nothing to gain control of the world, and they will do anything to get what they want. I can point out many despots over the course of history who have done just this and thought nothing of human life. It's just collateral damage. I listened to someone recently who predicted that within the next 3 years, there would be tens of millions. That's right. Tens of millions, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, who would assume room temperature because of. I believe this is true. And I believe that these people who will assume room temperature are slain. They die by violence. They die by unnatural causes. Remember, the English element of the word bia in the concordant version, which is translated violence, the English element is force. Millions and millions and millions, even hundreds of millions, have been forced by various means. Fear, guilt, livelihoods in jeopardy, to do something unnatural that will lead to their ultimate demise. I don't want to scare anybody out there who may have done the... I'm just saying, if God wants to protect you, he will do so. I wouldn't worry about it. But I think that we are living in unprecedented times, and this is, I believe this is going to happen. Now, when this happens, and I'm setting up my description of one of the latter horsemen here, there is going to be, when people find out that this has happened, when people awake and realize what has been done to them on purpose, there is going to be a backlash of violence against the perpetrators. And everybody knows who the perpetrators are. And if I were them, I would hide in a cave or dig a hole or just take myself out now. Because according to someone that I heard speak on this, this is just what will happen. And I believe it. And this has to do with the blade coming up. Yep, this is slaying. This is putting to death by violence. This is force. This thing qualifies. This thing will kill more people than World War II. Oh, but we're not finished, are we? No, unfortunately not. And when it opens the third seal, I hear a third animal saying, "Come." And I perceived, and lo, a black horse, and he who was sitting on it has a pair of balances in his hand. And I hear, as it were, a voice in the midst of the four animals saying, "A chenix of wheat, a denarius, and three chenix of barley, a denarius, and the oil and the wine you should not be injuring." What the hell? Honestly, that's a strange passage. It speaks of food being hard to get. And it speaks of the price of food being so ridiculously high that a man's daily wage will earn him but a loaf of bread. And the problem with we Westerners is we will look at a passage like this and we will interpret it in accord with, we always think of the United States. We're Americocentric. But I believe this pertains especially to the third world. And in the third world, in the so-called developing nations, there is a crisis. And the crisis is that food is scarce, and it's due to the scam. I'm going to get to that. I got a number for you that's going to blow your mind. It's due to the scam. And that the third world, I don't know how much of the population of the world that it comprises, but I think it's a huge chunk. May even be a third. A man's going to have to work a day to get a loaf of bread. That's what this verse is saying. And I believe this is happening now. And if it's not happening now to the degree that it must happen, then it will happen in the next 3 years. Revelation 6, 7. And when it opens the fourth seal, I hear the voice of the fourth animal saying, "Come." And I perceived, and lo, a greenish horse. And the name of him who was sitting upon it is Death. As 1 year goes by from now, and 2 years, and 3 years, the death from will go up and up and up. And it will wipe out a large percentage of the human race. These are unprecedented times. I was almost going to say we're dealing with unprecedented people who would think of something like this, but we're not, because this has been in humanity from the beginning. The insane, maniacal, diabolical need to rule, and the calloused, cold disregard for human life. Human life is to be used as a stepladder for power. The greenish horse, and the name of him who was sitting upon it is death, and the unseen followed him. This is all figurative. I mean, death doesn't sit on a horse, but it's, in that sense, it's figurative. In another way, it's literal, because it manifests itself upon the earth as tens of millions, perhaps even hundreds of millions, assuming room temperature. And the unseen is the state of those who have assumed room temperature. They're unseen. They don't exist. And jurisdiction was given them, that is death and the unseen, another figure of speech, over the fourth of the earth. There you go. It's not quite a third, is it? To kill, this is where you're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm going to say it anyway. To kill with a blade and with famine and with death. The blade, famine, and death. Boy, I'm not even going to get to, maybe I will, let's see, I'm running long, but that's okay. Blade, famine, and death. What is not said here is the percentage of people who will die by the blade, or the percentage of the people that will die by famine, or the percentage of the people who will die by death. Die by death? That's a redundancy a little bit, but death, it's strange that death here is put in its own category apart from the blade and famine, which will also result in death. But it's the specificity now of blade and famine. Famine, that's an easy one. It is estimated that because of the scam, $265 million people in third world countries will die of starvation. This is from The Guardian. According to a report produced by the UN and other organizations, at least 265 million people are being pushed to the brink of starvation. And in the article, they said directly what was the cause. I am just going to call it the scam. Why would people die? Why would these many people? And on the average, here's the shocking thing. On the average, 9 million people die every year of starvation. That's an astounding number. But it pales compared to this number. This was just a projection. This is not the actual people who have died. It is a projection. This year, the next year, or the next year, that it is possible. Due to what? The scam. Why? Restrictions of food supply. Why restrictions of food supply? Because they can't get the food. Why can't they get the food? You know why? Because everything stopped. Out of an abundance of caution, we are going to make sure that 265 million people die of starvation out of an abundance of caution. Out of an abundance of caution, we're going to stop the machine of progress and delivery systems. This is still happening now. This is why prices are up. This is why you can't get some stuff. You see, the guy who is orange is going to fix all of this. This is the projection. But if helmet hair gets in even sooner than 2024, which is possible, I'm telling you, things are turning. He's going to save 200 million lives. This guy is going to be a savior, I predict. Could I be wrong? Yes, I hate to admit it. I could be wrong. Could I be right? Yes. I could be right, too. Consider that. I'm just going to go for it. Oh, the blade. All right, this is where you're going to think I'm crazy. There's going to be retribution. When people wake up, when it becomes known what they did, they are also going to assume room temperature. But they will assume room temperature via violent means at the hands of the people who are still alive, who must, and I get this completely, must take vengeance upon the big names who did this. And it is possible. I have to point this out. The word blade here is a different Greek word than the word sword. The black horse killed John Saul, the black horse rider, with a sword. The Greek word for sword is different than the Greek word for blade. The Greek word for sword is machaira. The Greek word for blade is rhomphaia. I think if we could talk to Marie Antoinette and Louis XVI right now about how they assumed room temperature, they perished by the blade. The blade they perished by during the French Revolution was activated by a pull cord or something that caused a large blade to fall upon their necks and, ooh, where'd my head go? This thing could return as a public demonstration, hearkening back to those days, as symbolic of the power of the people. As I told you, it doesn't say how many perish by the blade or by famine or by sword. Could be only a dozen. See, we assume that, it's millions. Well, probably millions of famine die by famine. Millions die by death. Whatever form that takes. Well, I know what form it takes. Maybe 10 die by the blade. But the blade is mentioned here. And you wonder, how does this fit into a modern context? I just explained how I think it could. And that was the Green Horse. And I have gone through the four horsemen, the fabled horsemen of the apocalypse.